God began to do some pretty incredible things. And so God is on the move. God is doing great things, and we just need to open our hearts to Him and just allow Him to work and change and transform us so that we can carry that transformation anointing out into the workplace and out into the society. And so we have a table at the back, so if you want to take a look at that, and you know, we have a couple of books and some other sponsorship cards for children, and some tea for those who are tea lovers, you know, all kinds of flavored tea. So you want to go back there and, you know, take a look and meet Melanie. But a question from you is, who drove a Honda in the Bible? Pastor, you have, I came, good to see you. Who drove a Honda in the Bible? Does anybody know that? Nobody? Yes, go ahead. One accord, brother. This book is coming all the way to you over there. Very good. One accord. That's right. So, you know, we're talking these days about the Father heart of God and how Father God wants to really, you know how much He loves us and how much He wants to be close to us, especially during times like this where there are many challenges in our lives and also in society and in the nation. We have a loving Father who we have access to. Today, you know, as the worship was leading, you know, Abba Father, they were calling out on Abba Father, Daddy God. And we have a Daddy God that we can come to, which many people don't have, you know. And so I've been kind of camping on that, you know, thought for the last few weeks, literally, you know, letting the Lord just bring more understanding and revelation as to how important that we know and get to know Father God for who He really is. You know, we think we know Him, but we really don't know that. And so it's important that we begin to really press in and allow Him to reveal Himself to us in a new way, because we have a Father, and everything starts with the Father. Amen? Families, creation, everything started. We have a Father who we can come to and who will always be there for us and whom we can always call on. God is a close Father, and He is the one who initiated a relationship with man. You know, even in the garden, the first thing He did was He communicated with them. He first related with them, and then only He put them to work. And then, you know, it went on. So, you know, communication is very important with the Father. And He's not someone up there way far away waiting with a huge stick to bang us on the head every time we make a mistake. That's sometimes the impression most people have. And that's not the way God really is. We see Him in Jesus. We see Him in so many ways. And we see Him even when Adam and Eve failed. He did not, you know, basically He came after them. And He gave them a second chance. He gave them a way out. Even when they had violated His covenant and His commands and invited another worldview, a clash with His view and with His position about mankind and creation. They had opened a door and brought in an enemy. But still He kept loving them and kept after them and kept opening a way for them to relate and continue to be in fellowship with Him and serve Him. Amen. So, you know, it was more than just eating an apple or a fruit. It was inviting another entity completely to take over and dominate and you know, cause this huge clash that has been going on. And so God is the initiator of a God-man relationship. And so He's the one who wants to be close to us. And He wants to fellowship with us. And we see that, you know, Father God made time for relationship. you know, with man, and he would come and, you know, spend time in the cool of the day and talk with Adam and fellowship with them, you know, and just share his heart with them and hear them and listen to them. So God is after you. He wants to have a relationship with you, which is more than, you know, probably what you've ever had. And he wants to really know that you can fellowship with him and relate with him no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through. He's going to be there, and he's going to be one you can share everything with, and he wants to begin to help you to know him and to solve those issues with his wisdom and with his grace. You know, and so he wants to be in friendship with you and fellowship with you. And, you know, we have reversed the priority. We go to work first, and then when we have a little time, we would like to spend it with Father God. We have reversed it. We are busy. And then if we can squeeze the toothpaste tube a little bit more and give him a little time, and we don't really take him with us everywhere we go. And we can do that. You know, he wants to reverse it. He wants us to put relationship first. That's why Sunday, you know, beginning of the week, we come. Because, you know, we want to fellowship with him. And we want to begin the week, begin the month, begin our day with his presence and with the fellowshipping and with just worship and just acknowledging him in our lives. Amen. And so it's important that we get our priorities right again. We can't put work only and let's just squeeze a little time for him and then, you know, wonder why things are not going the way we want it to go. You know, we're having some serious times right now in the nations, both here and around the world. And I believe this is the time that God is wanting to call us back again into fellowship with him, into relationship with him, so that we can, you know, even during trying times like this, we can know his strength and know his power to endure and overcome. Amen. Father God longs to be close to us. In fact, Father God showed us through Jesus who the Father is, how Jesus came to save, to heal, to deliver, to rescue, to transform our lives by his power and by his word. And so it is important that we must take priority to continue to grow this relationship with our Heavenly Father. Amen. And, you know, as we come to church, as through our devotions and through our prayers and our worship and just being quiet with him, you know, we can learn to develop this relationship and grow it and learn to hear his voice and become familiar with it. Because when you learn to hear his voice, there's a lot of things that you will do his way and it will be blessed and it will succeed. Many times we're not doing it his way because we don't know how to hear his voice and recognize him speaking to us. But I found out every time I heard his voice and learned to follow his direction, It succeeded. Everything that I did succeeded because he was leading me. It was not me trying to make some things happen in my own strength. You know? And so, sometimes, you know, father wounds can hinder us. Our biological fathers and dads, you know, or dad figures in our lives, you know, and even mom figures could have affected the way we see our Heavenly Father. See, my father was a great man, but he was a poor provider. You know, he was his life was a little bit, you know, in shambles. And he had to leave home at age 14 and take care of himself, you know, from age 14 onwards. So his life was, he came from a broken family. And so, you know, I saw a lot of flaws in my dad. And I thought Father God was also just like that. You know, I love my father. And I know I wanted to be proud of him and he was my hero. But there were so many things that I saw that did not reflect the Father. And I had to unlearn them in knowing and getting to know my Heavenly Father. You know, my father was around, but he was, you know, always, he was not emotionally connected with us. He was around, but he couldn't get emotionally close to us. And so, you know, I loved him, but, you know, everything we talked about was way out there, something, you know, out there, something distant, something, you know, too big for my imagination as a child. But so I thought Father God was like that too. He doesn't really need a, you know, deep, intimate relationship with me. If I just hang around a little bit, that's good enough. But I realized that that was not enough. Amen. So I needed to get to know Father God in a new way for myself. And I got stuck in Dallas some years back, 30 years back. And I had to go to, I ended up going to this Bible school, Christ for the Nations, you know, against my desires, because I fought with him and said, you know, I really don't want to go to Bible school. You know, I want to go to, for something else. And he said, just go for one semester and see, you know. And that's what I told him. But in that place, more than the education and the training, it was the time that I spent with him. That I really, more than anything, I mean, there were some great things that we were taught and we learned. But more than that, for me, what I carried away was I got to know Father God for who he really is. You know, I had never known him like that. And I would take time, you know, with him in prayer and in waiting in his presence. And there were times I could not get up from that time, you know, for 3-4 hours. Boy, I was weeping, I was laughing, I was quiet. God was doing so much in my heart and healing the broken places in my life and restoring me, because he wanted to, you know, use me for to restore, help restore mankind in other parts of the world that really needed the grace and the goodness of our God. Some fatherless people, that orphans that were there, and not just children orphans, but adult orphans that needed to know that they have a father that they can come back to and connect with. So I got to know Father God in a very amazing way. And I felt, you know, many people would say that was, you know, a waste of time. Not for me. Not for me. I'm so glad I did. Those who thought that it was a waste of time ended up not being able to do some of the things that they could have done and be the person that they could have been. You know, so, but I just learned how to prioritize. And I was a guy who was in business. So I was a busy guy, always go, go, go. So suddenly I had to stop. And God was saying, stop. And now, hey, you know, take this time to get to know me. And I had never experienced that before. And so for those whole 2 years I was there, that was my priority. Just building, just learning to hear his voice. And just learning to let him come and just empower me and change me and heal me and deliver me. Yes, deliver me from a lot of stuff that I needed to be delivered from, and just change me. And so I could go back and carry his presence and carry his word and carry his mandate to fulfill, you know, to see a nation touched and impacted. So I want to encourage you, it's not a waste of time. When you go to church, when you pray, when you take your time in the presence of God, you know, he can do things in your life that nothing else can do. So get, you know, don't neglect that. Don't get so much in a hurry to just work and just fill your day with all kinds of stuff. You know, spend some quality time. And then as you go along the day, carry him with you. Don't just pack him up, you know, in your devotion time and keep him there. Take him with you wherever you go. You know, wherever you go, you just talk with him. You worship him. You sing a song to him. You say thank you. And when things are not so good on the road, you pray, even in the spirit if you need to. And, you know, things start to change. Even traffic jams suddenly start to clear as you begin to. Or he gives you a side road to go and avoid all of the, you know, the jam. So take him with us. You know, he wants to reveal himself to you. Maybe you have some father wounds that need to be healed. I needed the wound of, you know, just, you know, poor provider. And I always wondered in the ministry too, I had doubts whether God could really meet my needs. And then I had an American wife also that was with me. And I thought, oh, boy, how am I going to provide, you know, and how are we going to be provided? And some one prophet called it out and said, hey, I know you're worrying about this thing, but hey, you don't have to worry about that. God's got it all, you know, taken care of. And so, you know, I had the back of my mind was, you know, I would always be lacking you know, God will not provide fully for what I needed. Why? Because in my home, I saw that. And I had to get rid of that. God had to heal me from that and say, no, he's able to provide for all that I needed, you know, in my family, in the ministry, in what I needed to get done. And so, but that you know, my poor provider, poor dad, you know, left such an impression that I doubted Heavenly Father. And I had to learn that over and over again. No, God is able, that he was going to provide. He wasn't going to come short. And he was able to provide for all my needs. Another one was that, you know, the fact is, you know, that dad was not close to me. So I didn't feel like I needed to be close to Heavenly Father. And he, the one you see, if you can't be close to him, how can you see the one who's not visible as far as, you know, with our eyes? And so I had to learn to get healed and know that, hey, I don't have to see him in person to be able to connect with him as my father, someone who I could really trust and rely on and get to know in a personal and an intimate manner. See, my dad was usually angry at home and shouted a lot, and, you know, he used some language that was all not nice. And so I thought, you know, God's also always very angry with me, you know. I had this impression that God's an angry God. He's always waiting to shout and bang and, you know, all do all that kind of thing. But I had to learn, no, he's not like that. He's a loving father. He's a gracious father. And so I need to unlearn what I had learned, you know, intentionally or subconsciously that I had collected. I had to learn to release it and to understand, no, Father God really cares. He really wants to, you know, he take good care of me and what was important to me, you know. And he's not angry with me. He's not always angry and always, you know, in an upset mood. He's a good, loving father. And I had to learn to know him as in that manner that I didn't know him before. And I'm so glad I did, because I needed to change too. You know, and so, and I'm glad I got to know him, because I learned to become a better father as I began to learn to know him as my father. Amen. So I needed a fresh revelation of Father God. And so I want to encourage you that, you know, things have, you know, maybe you've got a wall between you and Father God, and you need to allow him to bring that wall down. And we're going to pray that that will happen in a greater measure today. You know, I had father wounds. He was a detached father. He was an absent father. Or maybe he was a disciplinarian, heavy disciplinarian. The way he related was on performance basis, performance orientation. He was distracted, maybe abusive. I don't know what you went through in your biological dad experience. But God wants to heal that wound, so that you can relate with Father God, no matter what you've gone through. You know, like they say, you cannot stop the birds from flying in the sky, but you can stop him making a nest in your hair. Amen. He can stop it. You know, some of us, it's very difficult to make a nest in the hair, because we don't have that hair like we used to have, you know, one time. We're not looking anywhere or in any direction as we say that. We're just keeping a straight focus here, you know. We don't want to get into trouble. You know, but we can't stop some of the things that happened. But we can learn from them. And we can change the way we enter into our future as a result of that. Amen. And so, why don't you just raise your hand, just one hand, and say, Father God, I invite you to show me who you really are. I have many father wounds that need to be healed and I need restoration. I have a poor concept, a poor idea of who my Heavenly Father really is. I ask you to heal me. I ask you to deliver me, Father, because I want to know you as my loving Heavenly Father. who is for me and who is not against me, who is not angry with me, who is not upset with me, but whose arms are reaching out, drawing me closer to him and wanting to show me your love and your will and your plan for my life. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. So God wants to show himself to us. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, we see how, you know, it begins with our Father who is in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Now, in Christianity alone, in our faith, that's the only faith that talks about a heavenly Father. Every other faith or religion does not have a Father. In other words, they don't really have a solid beginning. They have a judge. They have a king. They have a Lord. They have a master. But they don't have a Father. A Father is the creator or procreator. And so, when you don't have Father involved, there's a huge vacuum in your heart. And that's why when we come to the Lord, that gets, you know, filled, and that vacuum gets filled with the knowledge and the presence of Heavenly Father. We are not orphans, but those who don't know Father are orphans, even if they do have a biological, you know, parents. And so it is important. We are the only people that have a Father or God whom we can call Father. That's huge. That's why those who cannot call Father or don't have a Father are really up angry, are always, you know, mad, or they're always, you know, insecure. They're always in a place of turmoil and turbulence. Why? Because Father has a way of establishing us and affirming us, settling us, and giving identity to us that others cannot give. Her Father provides identity, and he establishes us. He affirms us. And that's why we so need the Father. And that's why the nations of the earth are today, you know, are in agony and in pain and in anger and in so, it has, you know, so much turmoil because they don't know Heavenly Father like you and I know him. So we are at an advantage. We have a Father. And, you know, even today the turbulence in the nations are, you know, by people who don't know who their Father is. You know, orphans are, you know, tearers down. Sons and daughters build. They build something. Amen. Those who tear down and destroy and cause mayhem and trouble are orphans. They are angry. But Jesus said, I will build my church. Build. Why? Because he's a son. He's the Son of God. And sons are builders. They don't want to tear down things. They want to build something and see it established because they know they have an inheritance. They have a part in it. Amen? And so that's why it's important. You know, in my nation, there are people that grow up, they go into the monastery, and they are literally orphaned. At the age of 6, they join the monastery. They are young boys that go and live with old men, older men, and they get abused. They get badly abused, and they grow up very angry and mad, and they come to burn down churches. Hello? It's not fun out there. You know, it's not fun out there. If you think it's bad here, I mean, it's really bad out there. You know, they come. They've come to even burn down our church. And God gave us the victory over it. Amen? They could not do that. They came and surrounded it, you know, and but God somehow made a way, and they had to turn and leave the place, even though they had spent 1 hour on the premises. That never happens. When you have a strong relationship with Father, that orphan spirit cannot fight against you. No matter how strong it is, when you are established as a son, boy, you have an authority that they don't have, and you can exercise that in the Lord. And even your churches or whatever can, you know, that face threats can overcome. Amen? And so I want to, you know, and that's what they do. They came to, you know, burn it down. They came to attack us physically. They surrounded us, you know. But in the middle of that, we found God's solutions. One thing I found was something called in-your-face praying. In-your-face praying. You know, they came and threatened us, and I started praying in the spirit, loud as ever. They thought I was crazy. Hey, but hey, I was not the one getting beat up. I was not the one getting beaten up as a result. I was not looking for someone to beat me up. I was, you know, they turned and left me alone after a while. They were, I believe angels turned up or something happened in the process, but I could see some really bizarre looks on their faces. When I started praying like that, I believe, I don't know, I didn't see the angels, but I could see the bizarre look on their faces, and I believe angels or somebody turned up, they could see it that I couldn't see. And they backed away and left me alone. I was able to get a couple of guys, some of my leaders, whom they dragged out and surrounded them, you know, wanted to beat them up. And I went loud as ever, speaking in tongues, you know, and suddenly the hush fell on the guys, 30 of them, and I was able to bring these two guys out of the mob, the little mob, the little crowd, and take them to safety. I'm telling you, our Father is an amazing Father. Amen. He has given us amazing keys and weapons, spiritual weapons. We didn't do anything violent at all to anybody. If we did, we would have got smothered probably, you know. But we learned to find our spiritual weapons in the middle of our battle. Amen. And I believe today too, you can find that in the middle of your challenges and middle of the threats that are going on around you. And we can pray, we can battle, we can pray in the spirit. We can go out to those places sometimes and prayer walk them and declare the power of God over that place, enforce his authority, and they will have to back off. Amen. And so we have authority in the Lord. And so, you know, so it's important that basically today the Bible talks about this, some of the challenges going on. And that is in Matthew 24, it talks about how people are offended. Offended. People are lawless. And people's love has grown cold. That's exactly what we are seeing today. You know, and we can't be fearful of the offendedness that people are trying to push at us. Because God's been offended for the last 6,000 plus years. Hello. And we are a part of his kingdom. You know, for me to do ministry in Sri Lanka, I get up every day knowing that people are offended with what I do. In fact, right while I'm talking now, they are bringing up a law against us called an anti-conversion bill. Yes, right now. They brought it up and we have gone to prayer and we will, you know, we're trusting God. They brought it up 3 times in the last 15 years. And it could not be passed finally. But if they do pass it into law, they're saying we'll put you in prison for 5 to 7 years for just sharing the gospel. They're out to take our freedom and our liberties away. Now, in the constitution of our nation, we have freedom to preach the gospel, to practice our religion, our faith. But in reality, there are people trying to take it all away. And we can't sit there and just allow them to take it away and be polite and cute and misplaced loyalty and false humility. We can't practice those things, people. We have to rise up. If not, they're going to take it all away from us and we'll be the ones who allowed it to be taken away when others have fought for it for us to be able to have it. Others paid a huge sacrifice to give us what we have. We can't allow it to be taken away. Amen? We got to stand up. We got to rise up and do whatever we have to do to see that our liberties are still guaranteed to us and are secured. Amen? We can't just be practicing a theology of politeness, you know, and cuteness. And yes, we are good people. Well, we are good people. But hey, we got to also see how, you know, we've got to also rise up and stand our ground. in a non-violent way. Amen. And but we have prayer is one of our key weapons. Now recently we are having an election this week in our country for the House. And they were going to put all those boxes, you know, the ballot boxes in a certain place in the commissions, you know, where they count it. But they were going to keep it through the night, you know, through the night and count the following day. Now we know when it's through the night, what can happen? You know, so we have been praying about that. And so we also approached somebody, a leader that we know, and said, what are y'all doing to protect those boxes and to safeguard those votes so nobody rigs it? What are y'all doing about that? And he said, oh, my wife this morning asked me the same question. You know, and others are calling and saying the same thing. So we found that as we not only prayed, we prayed for it vehemently, I mean tenaciously. But we also did something about it. We sent people to, I've got the photo here of the guy in my phone. And our guys went and said, what are you doing about that? And then I began to see, yeah, they were putting people all, there were two representatives from all the parties that were going to spend the night in that place observing, making sure that everything was up in the up and up. Amen. So we can't just only pray. There are some things that we can do. Amen. We must be proactive. If not, we just do practice this cuteness in our churches. That's not going to be enough for this day. It was good then. But now it's a different era that we are in. You know, even Martin Luther was a king, was a non-violent guy because they understood their theology. They had the fear of God. But today some of them don't have that. That's a big difference. That theological fear of God, they fought a real genuine battle. And they got what they wanted. But today's people are different. They don't have the wiring that those guys had. The decency those guys had. Amen? Even in the face of indecency, they still practiced decency and they practiced good values because they had a relationship with God and they were fighting his battles. They recognized that they were fighting his battles to see, you know, what needed to be done. So folks, I want to encourage you. You can't just sit in your cuteness and your loveliness raising your hand, and we need to do that. But we also, it's a different era we are living in. And we got to get up, got to pray, we got to work together, and we got to do things that are, you know, that will not allow the enemy to take what has been given to us. And, you know, churches can't sing, cannot weed. I mean, what craziness in America. America was the beacon of hope for the whole world, for the church, for freedom, for liberty. You can't allow that to go to the, you know, the tubes, down the tubes. You cannot do that. You're not just fighting for yourself. You're fighting for the whole world. Hello. And this economy must come up again, because when your economy goes down, even missions gets affected, world missions. Because you are the biggest givers into the world to send missionaries and to support missions out in the whole world. This is an attack by the enemy. Because many missionaries had to be called back from the field. Yeah, in the last 6 months, they've been called back. They've been, because of the virus, they've had to be brought back and the whole place is left with a vacuum as a result. And those who were even going to be deployed could not be deployed because of this virus. You see, why you're standing up for what the kingdom of God is all about is very, very important, folks. I didn't plan to say all this, but it's stirring. It's an alarm bell going off in my spirit. And I want to encourage you to get up. And, you know, you are a powerful church here. It's great to see your sign when we drive in here. And, you know, it's a great place. So, but you guys got to now, you know, we got to rise up and we got to join together. We got to pray together, you know. We got to pray through also, you know, until this thing is brought down, defeated, and until, you know, we see true signs of God's kingdom work advancing. Amen. There was a time, you know, this is a harvest. You got to guard your harvest. This is your harvest. You got to guard it. I remember one time during the tsunami. We had a tsunami in 2000 and before the Boxing Day, and Sri Lanka was badly affected. So me and Mel and teams would go and, you know, take goods and, you know, help to those who were badly affected. And so we had gone into a very dangerous area where, you know, terrorism and bomb, they would blow themselves up with bombs, and it was just a violent place, you know. And in those 30 years, about 100,000 people died. So we had gone, and the bus had pulled up with our, you know, with us, and we were now unloading, you know, from the bottom part of the, you got the hold there. And so they, we were unloading the goods to put it in a house where we were staying for, you know, distribution. And then those guys were around there, you know, those terrorists were around there, and they were guys who were dangerous to mess with, and nobody wanted to be by the hold there. They were like, you know, our team was nervous because they wouldn't know those guys, you know, if they wanted to come and take anything, they were waiting to grab all the goods and run away with it and take off with it. And so we had, you know, people had contributed from here, from the U.S. too, much to be, to help those people. So everybody was nervous because these guys were waiting to, you know, come out there forcibly and take it away. But I stood by that hold. I stood there and I prayed in tongues like a madman. None of those guys came near me. I said, even if I'm going to risk my life, I'm not going to give these goods away to the wrong hands. And I was in danger, but I stood there and I prayed in the spirit by the hold. I let the men of our team, you know, take it away. These guys were waiting to grab it from here. I stood by it and I prayed through for the 45 minutes or whatever till they were done. And nobody came and touched our goods. I guarded with the strength of the Lord. We were able to protect our harvest to be given out to the people that really needed it. Amen. Everybody else was like, whoa, what do we do about this thing? These are dangerous guys. But a faith rose up in me. Oh, I'm going to just face this thing with the power that is of my Father who is on the inside of me. I'm not going to back down, you know, come what may. And, you know, it all, none of it was stolen. Everything was distributed into the right hands. People of God, we got to do whatever it takes to guard our harvest at this time. Amen. And so I want to encourage you to you know, to really take your stand at this time, because God, and God wants us to, you know, occupy. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, verse 13, he said, occupy or be busy with my kingdom work until I come. He wants us to be busy with his work right till he comes. We can't shrink back. We cannot. The nations need us. This nation needs God. We need people who are, you know, active in duty for his kingdom work. You know, and he wants us to, and it says occupy, the word occupy there means with the intent of constantly increasing the ground you are holding. That Greek word means occupy with the intention or intent of increasing the ground that you are holding on to. Not giving up ground. People, we cannot give up ground. Too much of us are giving up ground these days. We've got to be a people that's going to hold the ground and also increase the sphere of our hold so that we can increase it. And that's what he's saying that we need to be doing. See, Jesus said, you know, he talked about this drag net. He says the net was pulled in only when the net was full. The harvest must be full for him to drag his net in. Obviously, the net is not full yet. There's so much need in the world. There's so many people lost still. Amen? So we have work to do. Amen? Don't just look at political, you know, politeness and cuteness and back off and allow the enemy to take ground. I love people like Andrea, you know, Crosby. Those people are serving in hard areas, but they are standing their ground and helping to advance the good things that need to be advanced in our cities and our towns. Amen? So we must be out evangelizing. We had a witch doctor about 3 weeks ago that came to know Jesus Christ. He came into the church, yes. witch doctor and his wife, he would not be able to go to church. Every time he tried to go to church, he would just, you know, land on the floor and begin to manifest. The enemy did not allow him to go to church. But that one day, 3 weeks, a month ago, he came and he was able to, you know, he received Christ. And now they're working with him to help him get fully delivered and walk with the Lord. Folks, so we are also doing that. We're not saying we're getting all dragged away to one side. No, we have to do both. We have to get people in church, and we also got to touch the marketplace and the society out there with the power of the gospel and with the power of the truth that is on the inside of us. Amen? So we got to occupy, because Jesus wants us to occupy and be busy. He doesn't want us, in fact, sitting aside and, you know, he said, stop feeding his people and taking care of his work. You know, if he comes back and finds them like that, he's not going to be pleased with that. He was saying, no, I want to, a good master will always be pleased when his workers, his servants are getting about taking care of business well until he comes back. And so we are in a time like that where we need to learn how to occupy, because America has been a beacon of hope for so many nations of the earth, especially for the gospel. People, we cannot let that down. This is our time. This is our watch. We've got to stand up and we've got to pray and we've got to do whatever it takes to see the beacon of light beaming and glowing in a dark world and blessing and affecting the nations of the earth. Amen. So I want to close with that. I could go on, but I don't think I should be. But we want to pray with some people also, you know. Shall we rise to our feet, if you will? And I want you to turn in all four directions. I don't know if the north is that way. I think it's somewhere that way, yeah. And some people on your side here face the north. Some people face the south. Okay, we're going to, and the east, yeah, then south. East will be this side, some of you here in front. And some of you at the back, the west. We're going to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our nation, folks. Okay? So let's go to prayer and let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for the peace of God to return. Let's pray that this COVID will, you know, will God will provide an answer for it so that it will leave and it will die. Okay? Let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for the church. Okay? So let's do that. I'll start right now. And maybe you could hold one other person's hand and pray together for this, for your nation. Okay? Let's take a few minutes. Just pray as the Lord leads you. But we need to pray more than ever before. And if you don't want to face one any particular side, just stand where you are and pray. That's okay. But just pray that, you know, and release the grace of God, the blessing of God, the favor of God. Angels, release the mighty angels to go into those places, into those cities, into those towns. To touch people. Pray for your leaders. Your federal, your state, your cities, towns. Pray for your leaders. Yes, Lord. We pray for America. We pray, Lord, the grace of God will rise, the glory of God arise over America in a new way. Pray, Lord God, that we and declare no weapon formed against this nation shall prosper. It shall not prosper, God. We declare America has been a blessing and a beacon of hope and light to the entire world, Father. We say we are not backing down. We say we are advancing. Your kingdom is an advancing kingdom, Father. Oh, come on, keep praying. Keep praying. Yes, keep praying. As the Lord leads you, keep praying. Yes, sure, Abba. Bless, Lord. Bless the leaders in the nation, O God. Fill them with wisdom. Fill them with knowledge and understanding, God. Give them much grace and strength at this time, God. Break off the weariness of them, dear God. And fill them with new courage and boldness. And Lord, just revive them, Father, so they can continue to make good decisions for the nation. To take it forward. Lord, we rebuke this corona and we declare, Lord, that it will die, it will leave, that, Lord, that you will provide a solution for it, Father God. Lord, you are the one. You took that pandemic away from Egypt when the Israelites were there. And so we declare that this pandemic will, Lord, turn around and it will die and it will leave, and that a solution will be found, whether it's a cure or whether it's, Lord, anything that is being blown up out of proportion. We pray that all of the, even exposed, those things that need to be exposed, so that, Lord, we can know the truth and we can, Lord, do what needs to be done to be free from this thing, to move forward. Father, we bless this nation. This nation being prosperous is so important because it is a beacon of hope and Lord, refuge for even for the missions around the world, for your people, for your work. So we bless America, God. We say, God, invade this nation in a new way, God. Let your glory rise over this nation, Father, like we've never seen it rise before. Lord, turn things around. Turn, Lord, tragedy into triumph, O God. The ashes to beauty, O God. Let this nation breathe new life again, Father. Heal this nation, Lord, from the rivalry and from the challenges that we are walking in these days, God. Bless this nation. Everybody bless. Stretch your hand towards whatever side you're facing and bless your nation. Bless the nation. Bless the leaders. Bless the people. Bless the church. Yes, keep blessing it. Keep speaking blessing over it. We bless the church. We bless the nation, oh God. We bless it to the north, south, and east and west, oh God. The Lord bless the nation. The Lord keep the nation. The Lord make his face to shine over our nation and be very gracious to our nation. The Lord lift up his face towards our nation and give it peace. And Lord bless and protect this nation. Then Lord bring your kingdom values. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Yes, let's give the Lord a shout of praise. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We want to pray for some people. Kora. Yes, pray in the spirit a little bit. Yes. Koraba Shantaraba. Sheta Taraba. Kotaraba Seka Taraba. Sheraba Santaraba. Shoriara Kataraba. Oh, God is breaking the weariness off you. God is breaking the fear off you. Yes, God is going to guide you and take you. And you know, the church is going to get stronger, the Lord is saying. You know, as you get pushed to the wall and sometimes have to, you know, be pushed to the wall, God is going to raise up a new boldness and a new courage on the inside of you. And you're going to start functioning in a whole different way. You're going to bring out the sword of the Spirit, the Word, and you're going to wield it very powerfully. The Lord is saying that you're going to be, even though you have been pushed to the wall, but His strength is rising up on the inside of you. And you're going to push that thing back, and you're going to overturn that thing, because God is not finished with you or with this nation at all. And so, you know, it's a better days are ahead for you. The church, no matter what you see in the natural, the Lord is saying there are better days ahead for you, and you're going to be a mighty army leading forward, and revival is going to break out. Yes, through all of this, God is going to send forth a revival, and I can see fires around the nation. Yes, just lighting up. The Lord is going to cause his glory to be manifested in the cities and the towns of the nations, of the nation. Oh, Rabba, Santa Rabba. Just pray in tongues a little bit more. Pray in the spirit. Oh, Riya Rabba. Pastor, if you have a word or anybody of the leaders, please come, because we want to really take this time to really encourage our people. Keep praying in the spirit another minute. Ko raba shantaraba seke tereba. Shoriya raba santaraba taraba kataraba. Sheta taraba raba. Oriya raba se taraba. Yeah. Hallelujah. We talked about father wounds also at the beginning, you know. And so if you feel like you identify with that, and that you feel there are some father wounds that are, you know, still there that you are dealing with, if you want to raise your hand, we want to pray corporately first, and then if you want to come forward after that, we will take some time to pray with you. But if you feel like you identify with that, those particular words, please raise your hand. There's some hands going up. Yes, thank you. Anybody else? The father wounds, you know, can be very destructive. And yes, but so Father, we pray over these dear ones, Lord, who raised their hands, and even, Lord, did not raise their hands. We pray that you will come, Lord, with your gracious presence, Lord, and touch their hearts right now. Father, we thank you that you desired to do a new work in their hearts, Lord. And though, Lord, that it has been difficult in the past, we thank you that you are healing us, Lord, so that we can be everything you want us to be for the future, Lord. So we pray all the resentment, all the unforgiveness, all the pain, all the bitter memories, Lord, all the wrong notions, Lord, all the brokenness, we pray that you will come by your grace, Lord, with your grace and with your anointing, and that you will touch the hearts, O God, and that you will heal the broken hearts, the hurting places of our lives, O God, and that you will turn it around by the power of your Spirit. We declare that you are touching these dear ones, Lord, at this time, your lovely children, you're touching them right now, and that you are, Lord, healing them, and you're applying the balm, and you're applying, Lord, your blood over that place of woundedness and brokenness, Lord. And we thank you that you're turning it around. Lord, you're unstopping their ears. You're breaking off the condemnation and the voices that were so harsh and so difficult, oh God. You're silencing those. You're plucking them out, and you're speaking over them. You are my son and my daughter. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. How lovely are my thoughts towards you, Lord. How vast is the sum of them. So Father, we thank you that you're speaking blessing over your people. You're healing the broken hearts. You're removing, Lord, all of the false or the wrong, Lord, the thoughts and the conceptions of you, Lord God. And we thank you that you're giving them your fresh revelation of who you are, and of how you love them, and how you are for your children, and how you will enable them to now become overcomers, Lord, in their walk with you, Father. So we thank you for coming and visiting us and meeting us at our point of need. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. There's people also with back issues, or, you know, there's some real issues with your back right there, you know, on, especially around your hips and waist, and also just in the middle there, you know. And there's people with foot problems also, you know. I don't know if it's walking problems or other issues with your feet. We want to pray for you too. But there's one or two people who have some severe back issues that you're dealing with. So we want you to come forward. We want to pray with you at this time. And we want to call the ministry team also to come and join us as we take some time to pray. Our worship team will help us and lead us at this time. And so we want to open the altars for those people to come. And if you just need just some prayer or